Hey, the Active family, it's David Reynosa, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking to David Gomar of Capture Color Films. Check out his Instagram in the link below in the show notes because his work is mind-blowing. I'm constantly just impressed and bookmarking their work because I'm like, wow, that shot was incredible, and I can't wait to do that at my next wedding. In today's episode, we talk specifically and we go deep into branding, not in just like, oh yeah, you know, your branding should be your ideal client and you should like capture your ideal client in this way. No, we really go deep into branding and like, what does it mean to have a brand that feels right? I mean, so often in today's world, we're pulled in all these different directions of like, oh, my brand should be this. And oh, I saw this other filmmaker do this. And you're just so confused in every single aspect. But we actually, you know, get deep into what a successful brand is. How do you actually change your branding? If you're actually, you know, kind of pigeonholed, you find yourself into one style, how do you make that shift? And we talk about elopements, like, are they actually as sexy as they sound? Or is there actually like a darker side to elopements that we don't talk about that much? And we talk about how do you work with a photographer in a vendor relationship kind of way? Like how do you actually, can you do discounts with photographers? Can you bundle your packages with photographers? And how that can actually be a competitive advantage that hardly any filmmakers are doing. And we talk about so many other things. I found myself constantly just every 5 or 10 minutes in this episode being like, whoa, that was mind-blowing. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to it. And then before we get started, I also want you guys to know that our Profitable Filmmaker course is out right now. This course is not going to be launched for a while after this, so you definitely want to check it out. And this is our course, How to Make $100,000 a Year as a Wedding Filmmaker in any market, any location, any economy, regardless of, you know, your style and regardless of even how long you've been doing wedding filmmaking. It's really the exact course that I followed to bring our company to a multiple six-figure-a-year business off weddings alone. And you're going to hear from David, actually. You want to stick towards the end of this podcast because David took the course and he went from charging $3,500 before the course to now consistently charging $8,000 plus for everything from elopements to destination work to local luxury work. And he talks about how it's just a game changer for him. So if you want like a real life testimony, if you're kind of on the fence, like, I don't know, stick to the end, listen to everything he has to say about the course. It just transformed his whole life and his business. So go to the show notes below and there's a link for the Profitable Filmmaker. You'll see that there. Click that link. There's so much more information about the course that you're going to want to check out via that link. And I will be on live chat. So if you have any questions, hit me up on that sales page. Alrighty, guys. Well, without further ado, let's get into today's episode. What I kind of want to get started with is you guys and your story, and just starting really low-key that way. And feel free to kind of take your time, because I know you guys kind of came out of nowhere, I feel like. I heard about you guys a couple years ago. I know you took my course, and I think that's how I first was in contact with you. But I remember checking out your work, and then you guys just started growing like crazy. It felt like every month I'd kind of go onto your Instagram, like, wait, you guys are where, and you're doing what? And like, how is your work so good, so fast? And like, where did you guys come from? So if you can kind of just like take me through how you got started, because I feel like, I just have a hunch, it's kind of an interesting story, and you haven't like always been doing video. So yeah, kind of walk me through that.
It's very similar to a lot of wedding videographers, though. You know, like, you get asked, hey, can you film this person's wedding, you know, and you kind of show up and it just starts. But before all that, I was, you know, my brother used to do art. So I was from a family that created art, and I was never good at it. Like, I could never draw, I couldn't create anything that was artistic. And I always felt like I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to create something myself. I was looking for something like an outlet, a creative outlet. And I found it with the camera. I was like, you know, if I can't create the art, let me capture it. Like, how can I be part of it in a certain way? I started just capturing my brother paint. And that's how I got into cameras, was like, I just want to be artistic. Like, I just thought it was so cool being an artist. I was like, I want to be an artist. Like, but I cannot draw or paint. So how can I be a part of it? And a camera was like that tool. That's the paintbrush was the camera. How can I create something? And from that, I was just doing live events. And it just led to, hey, we know you have, you know, the usual story of, hey, I know you have a camera. Can you come capture a wedding? And it was...
Yeah, we'll pay you $100.
Yeah. Actually, I got paid $1,500 for my first wedding. So it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. But that was, I believe, in 2017. I did my first wedding. And obviously, I had never been to a wedding before. So it was one of those things of like, I've never been to a wedding.
Wait, you had never, ever?
Ever, yeah.
Wait, even to like friends or family?
No, nothing.
Did you like grow up on an island with no people? Like, how does that
No, happen? Like I just never got to experience it. I don't know. It was just not part of...
Wait, so I'm really curious. Walk me through that first wedding. Were you like, wait, did you even know what was going to happen?
I didn't know anything. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was next. I had literally no timeline. Like I just showed up and like, hey, just capture the wedding. And it was one of my brother's friends getting married. And it was like, hey, just show up and capture the wedding day. And thankfully, I had an awesome photographer that I'm still friends, which I'm out here in Greece. He is shooting the elopement that we're filming. He was at the first wedding that I shot. And we became friends that way because he's like, his name's Will Cowrey. And he told me, he's like, hey, it's okay. This is what's going to happen next. You know, like, hey, just come stand here. This is what a ceremony is going to happen. She's going to walk down the aisle.
And you're like, I think I saw this in a Disney film once. I'm not really sure.
Just sweating all day, single camera, just, you know, out there winging it. And it was literally like, I was so scared the whole time. And it actually, the video wasn't bad, you know, just highlights blown.
Because like, you're just that talented. You just like, it just oozed out of you. It's like, man, I can't mess up. I'm so good.
No, it was terrible, but like not bad compared to like, I don't know. They still post, they still share it, you know, on their anniversary, they share the video. So it's like, it wasn't terrible, but I just had someone to guide me. You know, I had someone there for me and like that made it could have been a lot worse. And then after that, it was one of those things where one of the bridesmaids, her cousin hired me. And then another person hired me from that wedding. So it was literally that wedding party hired me. Like it was three weddings after that.
Crazy. You must have done a decent job for them to like hire you. It must have not sucked that bad, which is crazy after like, cause some people are like, oh, I've done my first wedding. Right. And that's pretty typical, but like, they're usually normal humans and they've actually gone to other weddings. And like, it's very rare. It's like, I've never been to a wedding. This is my first wedding and I don't even know what is happening. That's crazy.
Because I looked at it as like, it's just a friend's wedding type of thing. Like I'll just try my best, you know? And then I show up and it was like a typical wedding. Now that I look back, it's like a normal wedding. But I was like, I literally told myself, I was like, I'll never do this again. Like, I'm not going to do another one.
So tell me about that. Because I know... Like, why did you say that? Was it you just hated it because it was so stressful, or why did you never want to do it again?
I hated being unprepared, not knowing, just that feeling of, because now I overprepare. Like, even now I'll watch a YouTube video on how to do something. I'll go back to the course, the Craft 5K course, just before a wedding, I'm like that type of person where I'm like, I don't care if I already know how to lav someone up. I'm going to watch it again to maybe I can learn something again. Like
just to like refresh.
Yeah. Like I just watch constant education. And so just being unprepared was really uncomfortable. I just don't like showing up somewhere, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what I should be doing, at least being prepared and knowing the equipment, like knowing what's going to happen. Then I'm comfortable because I know things are going to change and things like that. But it was that feeling of that uneasy feeling of, I don't even know what's happening right now, you know, like I never wanted to be in that position again. And after that, it was like, oh, hey, can you shoot another one? And I was like, I don't know, the money might be good. You know, like that's that feeling of like, to be honest, it's like, oh, someone's going to pay me to do another one. Like what? And that's when I went to like, started looking around for education. What is a wedding?
Right. But even then it sounds like you were just like, okay, I don't really want to, but you're going to pay me, so I guess I'll figure it out. And that's interesting because I feel like a lot of people getting into weddings feel like, oh, they see people that are really successful. And then they're like, okay, in order for me to be a qualified wedding videographer, I need to like know that this is what I want to do. And I just need to have that innate talent. But it seems like the more I talk to other wedding filmmakers and even my own story, it's like, I didn't really know this is what I wanted to do. I was interested and that was it. Like, it was even just like a minimal interest. And I just kept saying yes. And it sounds to me like you're saying, you didn't need to know right out the gate, this is what you were going to do. It was more like, I'm just going to see and I'm going to test it out. And you almost came into it knowing like, hey, I'll do a couple of weddings. And if it's not for me, I'll just bounce. And was there like that degree of thought process?
Yeah, like I want to use a camera. Like, I want to be an artist, you know, like I want to be an artist. And as an artist, it's like, who's going to pay you to paint that painting? You know, like, so you're going to commission the art. And for me, it's like, oh, okay, there's actual business. Like, I never thought there's a wedding business, like a wedding video business. What? Like, I've never seen a wedding video. I didn't know what it was. And then I started thinking about it, and it's like, it made sense. I get to be an artist. I get to make money. I get to travel. I get to, you know, be a filmmaker. Like, what? Like, that is insane. It was insane to me. And after like that first wedding, I think it was my second wedding, that's when Letty and I first started dating. I had a second shooter, so I was gonna hire someone to just be a second shooter. I figured I needed someone. And the day before that wedding, that second shooter stopped answering my phone calls, stopped answering my text, and then I kind of told Letty, like, hey, I just need you to come hold the camera. You know, I was like so worried about the wedding. I was like, now I know like what a wedding is. I know I need someone.
You're like, our second date, you're coming. Like, and filler.
Like, it was literally that, like, close to, it was like within the first year, several months in. And she showed up and kind of held the camera and we made it work. And then it was like wedding after wedding after wedding. And the way like we were able to learn was through education. Like, just like, I've always been like, how do I get ahead? You know, that feeling of, if you're not learning, that other person's going to be in that room learning, like they're learning, you know, like if you're not learning, you're just left behind, you know?
Yeah. I always like to tell people, it's like, and this applies to all parts of life, you're never really in the middle on anything. It's either you're growing or you're backsliding, you know? And if you're kind of like stuck in the middle, more than likely you're going the way you don't want to go. And so it's always good to be like, okay, what can I level up on? And it does get a little, I think, scary for people, because there is the dark side of always wanting to be better. You could feel like, man, if I'm not grinding, then yeah, someone else is. And you're getting better, but it's at the cost of like always being stressed about how can I be good and better and all this stuff. So it's, because I'm the same way. Like, this is me talking to myself, like, how do you get better, right? Because we all need to get better without sacrificing your enjoyment of shooting weddings or of life in general. Is that even something you've figured out?
I'm barely figuring it out. Like I said, we're on this trip, we're shooting this elopement. We have a week and a half before this elopement, and it's a lot of greases. You sit on a chair to relax and enjoy the sunset, right? And it's been so hard to turn off that switch. It's taking like 3 to 4 days now where it's like, it's okay. It's okay to just turn off the switch and just not feel guilty. Like, I have such a guilt of like, if I sit down to watch TV, I'm like, oh, I should be doing something for the business. Like, you know, like that guilt, it's been very difficult to turn off. And then I had a conversation with Letty the other day. We were just driving here, it was like 2 days ago, like recently. And I'm like, I feel so much anxiety. Like, I feel so much nervousness, anxiety. I'm like, I can't relax. I'm not relaxed. This place is beautiful. It looks gorgeous.
You're like in Greece, like the dream of so many people.
Amazing. Yeah. And I just can't turn it off. And then she finally told me, like, you don't have to do anything for anyone. Like, you don't have to, no one's paying you to take photos of the trip, to create some sort of content, to do anything. Like, you know, like, I'm not getting paid to do anything. I'm here to shoot an elopement in a week. And that like mindset of like, I always have to do something for someone else or the business. Like, it's okay. Like, having that moment to just sit and think about maybe the business as I'm sitting there, you know, like there's always that little mind, you know, that you always want to think about it, but it was very difficult to turn off. And when she said that, like, it kind of made sense. It took pressure off me of like, oh, I don't have to bring my Sony should I bring the 24, the 50? Like, if we're going to go check out this beach.
And she's like, we're just going to In-N-Out. They don't have In-N-Out in Greece, but we're just going to the grocery store. You don't need to film the chips as we walk down the aisle.
Should I bring the drone with me? Literally, like, should I bring the drone? I don't know, because then I'm not going to do this. You know, and, like, so unenjoyable of, like, putting pressure that nobody else is putting on me of, like, I should create because that'll grow the business, right? Everyone on Instagram and is always posting. There's always that pressure, you know, of like, look at my business, right? And maybe they don't mean it that way, but when I see it, I'm like, oh man, like I should be doing that. You know, that pressure that you put on yourself. And
there's almost like this invisible, it's not a tiny string. It's almost like this invisible, heavy gravitational pull that just from the minute you wake up, you feel like I'm in a marathon and there's people beside me. And I don't know why, but as an artist, it's just feeling of like, I have to be doing something. There's this pull like sucking you into comparison and being better. And you almost justify it because it is a good thing. Like to the outside world, it looks like you're successful because you're moving forward. But it depends like what is the catalyst and why are you moving forward? Is it out of fear of not being good enough? Or is it out of like, oh, I have so much joy for my art and for life that I'm just doing it out of abundance versus like scarcity.
And I think as like someone that's like wants to move the business forward and you're like wanting to grow and like you're gonna put that pressure on you whether you like it or not. You're gonna like if you're really motivated and you're like, I know social media is important for the business, you're gonna be looking at other, it's normal. You know, it's very natural to look at other, oh, what's the videographers doing? What are the photographers doing? What are designers doing? Like, I wanna see it all, right? And it's like, oh my God, that looks so good. Why am I not doing that? Why am I not doing this? And it's just constant pressure. And it's finally feeling like, you mentioned it in the course as well, was like the social media course. Like, do you post every day? Do you post all the time? And it was like, I was looking at my growth and what does it look like? Do I need to post? And it was like, no, I didn't have to because I was booking. You know, I was still putting that pressure on myself, but I was still booking. And looking at my followers, you know, I had 2,000 followers and I'm like, man, I need 10,000.
But you're getting bookings for the price you want. You're like, wait, why do I need 10,000 followers?
I'm getting like really good bookings because of the course of raising my prices. And everything was going good, but I was still putting that pressure on me, knowing that it wasn't, you know, even when it's not important, you still, just looking at that phone really made me realize like it's not good. You know, like it's not good for anyone in society right now to just be constantly comparing yourself to others. And it's been a difficult, you know, I'm dealing with it now of like, it's okay. Right. You know, it's okay to shut it off and do your own thing. Do what works for you. And that's what I've been trying to do the last couple months is what does our business look like? What makes me happy? Like what is actually making me happy and not trying to chase what everyone else is doing and like, oh, maybe I'll mix a little bit of that. Maybe and I'll jump on this and just being confused because for the last several years, I've been confused, like super confused.
Yeah, tell me about that because first off, for anyone listening, definitely encourage you to check out Capture Color Studio, right? It's you changed it from films to studio.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely check out David's Instagram and like I go on your Instagram and it looks so cohesive from my standpoint. It looks so like, man, you're traveling to all these cool places and you're doing all these amazing elopements, but little do I know. I mean, I know because I'm also a filmmaker and I've kind of wrestled with these things too. But if anyone's listening and goes onto your Instagram, it doesn't look like you're confused and you're trying all these different styles. But I know for so many filmmakers, it's like this unvoiced suffering that we're all going through of like, oh, it looks great on Instagram, but inside every wedding we show up, we're like, I don't know who I am. Am I fine art? Am I adventure? Am I traditional? Am I elopements? And then you see a film that one of your friends posts and you're like, that's so freaking sick. And in one sense, it's almost like a good thing because you get inspired like, oh, I'd love to do that. And then you do that and you realize, wait, this doesn't match anything else I'm doing. And then before you know it, you have your feed's populated with things of all these different styles. So tell me about that journey because so many of us feel it. And yeah, I'm curious.
I think what happens is we don't allow ourselves to grow, right? Like we start the business and it's like, I want to build it up. I want to keep getting clients. And you don't realize a business, any other business, it takes years to grow, right? But our business, it's like you're creating and you're creating awesome films and you start comparing. It's back to social media. You start seeing what they're doing and you want to be as good as them. You want to get those types of weddings, you know? So you start, you don't allow yourself to get those types of weddings that aren't the greatest. You know, you don't give yourself time to figure it out. Like, I wouldn't give myself time to figure it out. It's like, it's okay. It's going to take time. Like, I wouldn't think that it would take time. So I would look at other pages. I would look at other people and just be like, why am I not there? You know, like, how do I get there? And be thinking, I need to grow faster. I need to get there faster. And what I've realized was to get there, to get to the ideal clients, to get to those weddings that you want, you actually have to take, it takes time. It takes time.
So do you, would you almost say that like speed, especially when you're first starting out, is like one of the biggest detriments actually, even though when you're starting, it feels like one of your biggest assets. It's actually not.
Yeah, I feel like we don't give ourselves enough time to, hey, let me, maybe I love to do barn weddings. Maybe I love to do elopements. Take your time to actually do several of those weddings. Because what I found was, hey, I don't like to do barns. I don't like to do too many elopements. I don't like to do luxury weddings. There's a fine line between when I started doing our branding a few months ago of like, let me look at what our favorite weddings were. Let me look back on our, and I think the biggest asset as wedding videographers, we have inquiries. And those couples, like we ask, you know, what do you like about our films? You know, or what are you looking for? And they say, hey, we love this, you know, we love that you, the small moments, we love how you capture the environment. So I started looking at what my favorite weddings were. What was our favorite weddings? And then I started to get a good picture in Honeybook of all those inquiries. I looked back at their inquiries and they were all similar things. We love how you capture the environment and our family. We love how you captured the small moments and the style. We love the elegance of the videos. You know, so I started to form a picture of, oh, like my favorite weddings, it's not actually elopements. It's, you know, outdoorsy weddings with family. Like those were my favorite. And then I saw why they were hiring me. And it was because we captured the environment and we captured family well. And it was like, okay, now I have a picture of who I am. Like we know after doing so many barn weddings, so many, I thought for a while, oh, maybe I can make more money doing luxury weddings. Let me try that, you know? Let me go light and airy. Like, you know how everyone, like a lot of people are like, oh, that those look amazing. Let's try luxury. And then it's not for everyone. Elopement. There's so much work and I'm doing an elopement now. Like I like to do them, but there's a reason.
You're literally like at an elopement right now. Yeah.
But I've figured out how to, I do them with a photographer, with Will, where he does a lot of the work. He does a lot of the planning side of it, which takes the pressure off of me of, which was the side that I didn't love too much about the elopements, was there's so much planning that goes into an elopement that people don't realize.
Yeah, tell me about that. Because I think so many, well, I don't think, I know. I talk to so many filmmakers, like, if only I could do elopements, like, then my life would be so much better and so much easier. And usually this is coming from people who have never shot elopements. And I mean, I love them, but I think it'd be good to kind of educate people on, hey, it's, you kind of got to choose your hard because every type of wedding, there's something that actually does make it difficult. And elopements, contrary to what you see people post, is not just frolicking into the sunset with a couple. It's like actually, in a weird way, more work than a normal wedding. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's not even a weird way. It's definitely more work than a normal wedding because a normal wedding, I know that we're going to go to from point A to C, A, B, C. This is the wedding day. I know I'm going to get speeches and they're going to be amazing, or their vows are going to be amazing, or they do a letter. I know things are going to happen with an elopement. And one of the things is you might have to show up at 3 a.m. in Yosemite. I live about an hour and a half from Yosemite, right? We just filmed an elopement in Yosemite. We showed up at midnight, slept in the car for 2-3 hours, woke up at 3, just to be up by 4 to start scouting the location of the elopement. Like that's how much work elopements take if you're going to do them right. If you're going to be at the right location at sunrise, and that's a lot of work. You know, that's a lot of work that goes into elopements where I thought, man, they're so cool. Like, I want to do elopements. And I didn't realize, oh, you've been planning this for so long. You're telling the, this is, and I've realized, because me and Letty were going to elope. And then we had, now we're going to get just a full on wedding. But what happens is, it's the Netflix effect of there's so many choices. The couple has so many choices of, do we do sunrise? Do we do sunset? And you have to be a guide. You have to guide them. Yeah, because they can do anything. It could be anywhere in the world. So where should we go? Should we go to Santorini? Do we do Big Sur? You know, so you're really a guide to the couple more so than, you know, just another vendor. You are more planning their wedding as they're planning their elopement because they have so many options. Do we do a picnic and do we buy cake? Who's going to style the picnic? Who's going to style the ceremony? Do we get an officiant? By the way, who's the officiant? Things like that that you don't think about is like, if you're going to do elopements, you better be ready to almost be a planner. Like, plan their day and give them or give them really good tips on what that elopement's going to look like, right? So for me, I was like, I don't have the energy to spend so much time planning, scouting, Google Maps, and figuring out hikes and all that stuff. So what we did was we partnered up with Will, where we offer a package together. Will's a photographer, and we offer like a video photo package where he takes the brunt of the planning. And I'm, you know, he's filling me in. We have meetings together, and it's a little bit easier on my end where it's like...
That's really cool. How did you work that? Because I know, like, I've done that in the past with photographers, and it's always worked out really well. But you kind of, I know a lot of people don't know what kind of the process of that is, because a lot of people think, oh, I got to bring on a photographer under my brand, and then they'll be like my brand's photographer. But you did it in a way where you had shot with this person before, you worked together well, and then you just said, hey, if you book this other photographer and me together, then there'll be some sort of discount. Kind of walk me through that, and how did you approach this photographer? How would someone else do a similar thing? Because I'm sure it's made the world of difference for your business.
Yeah, it's been great, and it's eased a lot of the planning for me. So it's made it easier. It's made elopements easier. It's something I still want to offer, but it's more, we want to offer 4 to 5 elopements a year. We don't want it to be our main business, but I still love to be out in Yosemite, Big Sur. Like, I still love that in Santorini. But the way we did it was, you'd be surprised how many photographers want to offer video. Right? Like, we're an asset. Videographers are an asset to the photographers.
Tell me about that, because a lot of filmmakers don't feel that way. Like, how are we an asset when, you know, photographers just seem like, oh, get out of my way.
Yeah. We're an asset because they're in a field where it's so packed. You know, their business is so full with other photographers. Competition's so hard. If they can get an edge, they want it. They're going to want it, that edge. And guess what? We're that edge. Like, we can be that edge for them. Where it's like, hey, you're looking for photo and video. They don't have someone that shoots video. So, you know, why not be us? Why not us partner up? If you work with them well, reach out. So I just reached out to him like, hey, do you have any cool elopements? I'm trying to get into elopements. And he's like, oh, I actually do. Just show up. I did it for free. And from there, we built that relationship. We had already shot together. I kind of waited a little bit till he brought it up. He's like, hey, like, what do you think about a package? And I'm like, yes, I've been thinking about it. You know, like, I didn't want to be that weird.
My brainwashing worked.
It kind of just made sense, right? But we don't give ourselves the credit that we are a benefit to them and we are that edge for them. So I would say reach out. If you worked with someone multiple times or just a couple times and you've worked well, just reach out. Be like, hey, like, I'd love to do an elopement. I'm thinking about putting a package. Like, what do you think? We do a discount. Put a package together. We have like 3 like collections, like full-on collections together, and we give a discount on each collection. And it's like, hey, you either book me by myself, but if you book David Capture Color Studio, then we get a discount. They get a discount on my end. So there's a way to work it where it doesn't get complicated with contracts and having to figure out, well, who signs what contract? The couple will book me.
Right, and both are still under each other's brands. It's really, the benefit is, especially for elopements, it's so cool for a couple to know, hey, these people have worked together before and I get a discount. Like, it just eases their minds so much. And it's a plus, like you said, for both parties involved, because then the photographer is like, oh, the couple will probably be more likely to book me because by going through me, they get a discount on video that they wouldn't get if they just went to that person directly.
Exactly. And a lot of couples now are looking for a team. They want the photo and video package.
Why do you think that is?
I think the more people want video, and which I think is happening now, we've had couples reach out where it's like, we're the first vendor. Hey, we want video. And I think the more they want video, the more they expect it to be a package thing, right? Like, oh, it just makes sense. Like, oh, we're looking for a photo video team. I think it just makes sense for the couple to be a team already. So I think they kind of expect, and they're kind of looking for it. So we give that edge to the photographer of, oh, we have that team. You want that partnership? Here we go. You know, you got it. And there's a discount. So I think they just kind of expect it because we're in the same, it's, you know, the same type of field.
Yeah, I noticed that so big when I started to really lean in. I did it for a while where I worked with a photographer. Actually, he was under my brand and we had a brand photographer. But I think it's even easier to reach out to someone who already has their brand and just do that partnership. But it was so crazy when I would tell couples about it over the phone. It felt like an instant book, like just this big sigh of relief of, oh, I only have to go through one person and you guys already know each other. And because the biggest thing for couples I found is they just want to be, for the most part, not stressed. They just want someone to like take everything and do it for them so they can show up and enjoy their day. And even if you're a little bit more than X, Y, and Z videographer, but you're going to take off so much more stress from them, they'll be like, oh, it makes sense, and they'll book you. And so, yeah, I think as filmmakers, we're always thinking about, hey, how can we have this edge? How can we do this? And oftentimes we focus on, how can I have a better camera, or my colors are better, or the very technical look side of things, where we forget the other side of the equation, which is the experience. And I think that's where, if you're listening to this, you can really completely differentiate yourself from the competition by saying, how can I offer a better experience to the couple? And honestly, the best way to do that is working with photographers that you've worked with in the past and offering some sort of bundle, because it really just sets you apart. Even if your work's not as good as, you know, this other filmmaker, I've experienced couples will book you anyways because they like that package idea.
Yeah, and it's always about trust. Do they trust you? You know, and if they have an awesome photographer, if you're like, hey, I'm working with this awesome photographer already, it just builds more trust. Like, wow, all right, you're making it easier for me. I'm trusting you more now. You know, like now it's a discount. I'm trusting you even more. So at the end of the day, it's about trust and them believing in you that you can actually do it. Can they trust in you? And if you have a team already, like you're presenting a team and a discount, like who's not going to love that?
Right. And they're just like, where do we sign? Where do we send the detour house? We're giving you everything. No, I love that. So you've kind of done an interesting circle where you started out doing just every wedding that you could possibly imagine. And then you kind of niched down to, okay, I don't really like the barn weddings. I don't like this wedding or that wedding. Then you kind of got into more destination. It seems like from your Instagram, a little more elopements. But now you've kind of, as you've been focusing on branding, realized, oh, I don't know if I want to do a whole year of elopements. I just want to focus on, you know, 3 to 5, which is odd because I think most filmmakers have this idea of, oh, I just want to do full on elopements. So it sounds so awesome. Or they start doing elopements and that's where they stay. But you're kind of like, going back and like, no, I actually want to do more traditional weddings. So why? And like, kind of expound on that a little bit for me. Like how, like, why are you making that decision? How are you changing the style of your brand?
Yeah. I would say it goes back to allowing yourself time to grow and not jumping into something and branding yourself as this type of photographer or this type of videographer right away, right? Like I felt like I kind of jumped the gun and it was like, oh, now I'm an elopement and destination, you know, videographer all of a sudden, right? Like now that's like, I love that. But how about I do it? You know, how about let me actually do it before I brand myself? You don't have to change your branding to do 3-4 weddings, you know, elopements. You can say, hey, I'm going to offer a discount if I do this elopement. You know, you can get the chance to do it. You find an awesome photographer. Hey, do you have anything cool in my area? I'll go and shoot it. Give yourself the chance to try it before you even think about changing your branding to it. That was a huge lesson for me where I was like, oh, now we're elopement videographers, you know?
We did one elopement. We're elopement videographers.
We're now elopement. Like they're so cool. Like they look awesome. They're the best clips on Instagram. It makes total sense. You know, they're so awesome. And then, like I said, I started doing them and I was like, oh man, I don't know if I like to do all the planning, wake up this late. And the money's, you know, it's, good, but it's very similar to the normal. I make more money in the normal wedding, but it's like, do I want to do all that work for that amount? And is my heart really in it? You know, like, so I started really thinking about why I was trying to do it low maintenance, why I was, you know, why I changed my branding like all of a sudden for it. So it was like, okay, I need to take some time and really find out what I like doing. And that's when I realized, like, I am trying to change myself because I thought that was cool. I need to jump in on that without trying it. So I would say to someone that's like wanting to try elopements, just try, like, try things before you become an elopement videographer, like, or a destination, you know, videographer. Try to land a couple of destination weddings, you know, do them for free. I advocate, do one for free, try it out, offer it up, because I think the experience you'll get out of it is way more, it's worth so much more for you, for your business, of thinking, hey, do I like being away from my house? Do I want to, like, be on the plane, traveling, checked in bags? Do I, what do I pack? Oh my God, I need to pack a lighter tripod. I need a, you know, like, you're worried about so much. And then at the end of the day, you're going to change your branding and say, maybe that wasn't the best idea. So before you change your branding.
I like felt that so much in my soul. Like, I feel like that's so many filmmakers. Like, they put, okay, I want to be successful. I want to be a full-time wedding filmmaker as fast as possible because I can't stand my job or whatever it is, my current job. Or I just want to be so good, like my friend who I admire. And they jump into it. Like, I guess I'm a fine art filmmaker, and rebrand, because it almost gets deafening when you listen to other filmmaking podcasts or on forums, because everyone is just so focused on, you have to level up. You have to have a really good website and you have to have really good films. And you just, you're like, okay, I guess I'll spend $10,000 on branding, and I'll spend, you know, all this on redoing everything about myself. And then literally in a year, you're like, oh shoot, I actually hate this type of work. And then you got to do it all over again. So actually, I love that we're talking about this, because, you know, what I actually recommend people is, if you can, and I really think it's the best way, is before spending 5, 10, any amount on branding, like, get a basic Squarespace site and just, like, constantly change it throughout the year. By yourself, of like redoing the words, kind of switching up films, and just like sandboxing and playing with what you enjoy. Because if you do that for a year, I can guarantee you, as you've probably found, that once you get time to actually hire someone, you have such a better idea of like actually what you were built for and what you enjoy, versus trying to figure that out with $10,000 on the line of a brand.
Yeah. And essentially, what's going to happen is they're going to ask you questions, and you're still going to have to look inside, right? Like, a designer is going to ask you all these questions about your business, who you are, you know, if they're good, right? And you're going to have to do that internal work regardless, right? Like, so you should really spend the time, and it's really about sitting down and thinking about it, you know, taking the, like, allowing the moments to just sit around and think about what you like. Think about the branding, think about your style, think about your favorite weddings. I think that was the biggest thing. Like, that was the breakthrough in my branding, was what were my favorite weddings? And I found that pattern of like, oh, they were all these types of couples. They like this. And I was like, okay.
So when you say favorite weddings, were those ones that weren't elopements? They were like the traditional one day.
Yeah. So our favorite weddings were like, and this bride, her inquiry was like, I want my wedding to be modern nature. She just like wrote those two words, right? And then I started thinking about it. And then she wrote, I want it to be elegant, sophisticated, garden party with family, right? And I was like, I think she just wrote like everything that I love about these weddings.
What you just said is brilliant, actually, because oftentimes I think we can get stuck of what is my brand, right? And like, I have to come up with everything from scratch. But I know I get similar inquiries where it's really important on your contact form to be like, hey, what type of wedding are you having? What are you excited about it? And like, what do you like about our work? And actually one hack, which you just, it's so cool to like figure out, what are my branding keywords and what should I do, is to look at those favorite weddings and see the inquiries. And oftentimes they'll actually put, oh, backyard garden, elegant, modern, nature-esque garden party. You're like, oh my gosh, okay, that's my brand. I can run with that.
We even talked to her about it. Like, she's like, oh my God, I love you guys. We did her rehearsal dinner. So they were doing like a winery tour. We were like hanging out with them. And I was like, hey, like, I love everything that you wrote in the inquiry. Like, I'm just going to tell you right now, like, you're literally our ideal client, and I might use your wording for our website. And she's like, oh my God, please do. Like, she's like,
I'm so honored.
Yeah. She's like, I'm so excited. And then, so I started looking back at other weddings, and it was like environmental. I will love the landscape that you capture. And it was like, oh my God, like I love elopements, the look of elopements. And I love like family. So like, it just combined it both, right? Like it was, what do we do? It's not ballroom. It's outside. We're in California. So we go to Tahoe, we go to Big Sur, we go to Yosemite, where there's venues or elopements. So it was a mixture of family and nature. Like literally, like as I was doing the branding workbook from the Profitable Filmmaker course, they answered what I do. You know, they answered, what do I do? It was all the couples, they all had everything in common. It was like, man, they were this age. They were all this age. They were all like into style, some were architecture, and they just like kind of spelled it out for me. Like, what do I do? I looked back at my favorite ones and they told me what I do, you know, like why they come to me. Like,
mind blowing. Yeah. Because it's so crazy, because most filmmakers, they have their brand in the past, which is weird to say, but like, a lot of filmmakers are like, oh, I got to discover myself. And there's an element of that, of like, who am I? What am I drawn to? But really just look at your favorite couples and then see, what are they into? What brands? And your actual brand is already created. You just need to discover it from past couples.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look inside and just think about your favorite ones. And this comes with time. Give yourself time to shoot a bunch of weddings.
Right, because you wouldn't even have couples that were your favorites if you just started.
Yeah. So allow time to grow, shoot a bunch of different weddings, and then look and then do your research. Have a really good contact form and go to it. That's going to give you the answers of who you are, you know, or at least why they come to you. And then if that makes sense for you, like for me, oh, the small, you know, we always mention the small moments, but they mention that like, oh, the small moments, your color, the environment. So they're going to tell you who you are. They almost recognize it better than we do of why your films are good, you know, like what they see in it better than I was like, wow, like, oh, I do capture the environment really well.
Like, right. Like I didn't even think about that. It was just something I thought was cool.
Oh, sophisticated elegance. Like, oh, wow. You know, and then I started looking at the films that I created for them, and then it made sense. I was like, wow, they are kind of the slower paced, romantic, and just more landscape. And I was like, those were my favorite ones. And they're actually calling it out. Like, it just made total sense. And after that, I was like, okay, now how do I brand that? You know, like, it's been a process of, can you still book luxury price tag with those types of weddings? Right. And I thought, how do you do that? Like, can you do that? Can you make a lot of money booking these weddings? Or just, you know, can you make money booking these types of weddings, how I see luxury events? Like, oh my God, they make so much money. They're so expensive. It's so great. And the answer came, I started looking at a hotel brand. And this hotel brand was really expensive, but their branding was all like about the landscape. And the way they talked was about nature. And I was like, oh, and all their videos were moody videos. They were so like cinematic. They were all shot on anamorphic. They all had flares. They were so moody. And I was like,
this is a hotel? What hotel is this?
This is Aman. Amangari. They do all the...
Oh, Amangari. Yeah.
Yeah, they have Philippines. They have, you know, China. They have all over the world hotels.
And it's one of the most expensive hotels ever.
$6,000 a night. And what does their branding look like? It's not light and airy. Like, I was thinking, oh, I need to do luxury to charge a lot, you know? No, you just have to be good.
But it is a luxury hotel. And I think that's the distinctive, is luxury doesn't confine itself to a certain style. Luxury confines itself to experience.
To experience the feeling that you get from it. It's calm, it's relaxing. You know, like they have their branding done really well. So you can do whatever you want. You just have to brand it really well. You have to know your people. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to be light. I was so confused by that. Like, do I have to be light and airy? Like, but I like the little moodier stuff. Like, but I feel like that's, you can't charge that much because all the planners only post light and airy, you know, mostly. So that must mean that all those venues probably only book. You know, like these are things that are going through my head as I'm looking and trying to find what is the career path. Like, how can I retire doing this, you know? And maybe I need to do this. And I found out you don't. Just looking at other brands that, you know, actually can charge a lot, but be really stylized. And as you look at fashion ads, you know, like they're not light and airy. You know, you look at like any cologne, perfume ads, you know, things like that. It's like, oh, there's different levels to it where we can find our voice and our
look. What do you think? I think this is a great conversation. If style isn't what makes something worth the price and luxury, what is it that makes it luxury? If it's not on the surface, how it looks.
I think as I'm working through the branding, it is style, but it's also experience, and it's thinking about experience. It's your website. So we're going to redo our logo, things like that, right? But it's also communication with the couple. What does that look like from the beginning of your communication with them? How often do you communicate with them? We're like, all right, now we need to make sure we're having constant contact with them. It's a full on, is thinking about once you get to those higher end weddings, it's like, okay, if I paid that much for something, I want to make sure I'm taken care of. I want to make sure I can trust this person. If it's a car, I'm looking at the warranty, you know, like I'm looking, we're getting to those prices of like, it's an investment. And just saying, hey, welcome, and then I'll see you in 9 months is not enough where it's like, I want them to leave and be super happy and yelling and being like, I had an experience. Like that was going to like getting a massage. You know, I felt relaxed. It was like that I think is luxury experience, is stress-free, relaxed. You're hanging out. It's so easy. When we hired Capture Color Studio, it was the easiest thing. Like, you know, like it was just that to me says luxury. Because even seeing, you know, you go to a hotel, luxury hotel, come into the spa, relax. You know, they sell.
We do everything for you. Like you don't have to lift a finger.
Yeah, because the higher end person is busy working. They're working. They want that. I want relax. So our branding should be come and, you know, it's going to be easy. When you book, it's going to be the easiest thing ever. You know, like.
That is so, I love that you said that because I think as filmmakers, it can be hard. We want to do high end, but the problem is, either we haven't spent a lot of time thinking about what are actually high-end people with a lot of money, what are their unique needs, because oftentimes we don't come from money or we don't have a lot, we aren't our clients, which makes it a little bit difficult. And oftentimes we run in with all these expectations on what they actually need, but then we're like, why isn't our brand working? Well, it's probably because we haven't really honed down on what they really need. We think we know. And I love that you said about the carefree, because not all the time, most of the time, people with a lot of money, they work hard for that money. And the reason why they spend money on luxury experiences is, hey, I want to just go and enjoy this. I want to be able to experience something that like is so unique and different and in a way that doesn't make me stressed out. And so I don't think a lot of filmmakers think about how can I make my brand stress-free? Like when have you heard a podcast talk about how to make your brand stress-free? It's more like how to make your brand more epic and amazing and like work harder. And it's so funny because we as filmmakers, oftentimes most of our experience in life is so stressful and so like leveling up and always anxious and doing the next thing, where it's like how, and this is just me processing as we're even talking about this, is like how can we build a brand that truly is stress-free if we are so stressed out ourselves? And so I think it's an element of, if you want to be a luxury brand, like actually take time to rest and even yourself indulge in some luxury experiences to feel how it feels to be in that luxury environment and actually rest in it. And then you're like, oh, wow, that's what I need to be.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I mean, we're kind of doing some of that now, like just being out in Greece, staying at the places we're staying at. And it's like the higher end places, we booked a mix of like, hey, a cheaper spot, cool Airbnb, you know, and then like an awesome, like more higher end B&B, you know, and just kind of seeing the difference. And the difference that we've noticed is that we're going to take care of you. Hey, we'll pick you up. You're going to come here. Just, we got your bags. You know, don't worry about it. It's all about making life easier for you. The more that you spend, it's, hey, how can I make it easier for you? And part of figuring that out was when we found out, okay, we want these types of clients, find who's selling to those clients. Who is selling to your ideal client? to that higher end client, but that still likes adventure. You know, that they still want adventure, but they want family. That means that they love to travel. So let's look at some hotels where they would maybe stay. And they're higher end hotels. So let's see how they talk to them. And they talk about relaxing and just that experience. And just look at other brands that kind of talk to your clients and then kind of go from there and see if you can kind of take a couple things from that and see if you can brand in that same way. They paid a lot for that research, right?
Right. Let's just steal it from them and repurpose it for weddings. Yeah, no, I love that. Dude, I love all this thoughtfulness and intentionality that you're carrying through with your brand. And it's really what I tell so many people to do. It's like, hey, the branding is important work, but you don't need to do it alone. There's so many other brands that have already done it who are speaking to your target audience. Learn from them. So I think the question is now like, all right, so now you're kind of in a transition phase of, hey, we want to transition to very specific traditional weddings, but that are high end, that love the outdoors and natural, and they kind of an adventurous flair, but they're a little bit more luxury. Like, what are kind of some steps you're taking? Because like, I'm just thinking of the filmmaker who's listening to this right now, and they're like, okay, I've done barn weddings my whole life, and I've realized I don't want to do those. I want to do more the weddings you're talking about, David. But like, that seems so daunting to me to go from a website that is all barn wedding focused with the branding and the logo and the films and the Instagram. Like, where do I even start? Is it something I need to like flip a switch where it's like, okay, tomorrow everything needs to be new? Or is there a process, and how do you do it without losing your mind? And how do you do it while still making money in the process?
Yeah, I would say first, try it first, right? First, do not change anything. Those barn weddings, if they're paying you, stick with it. Don't change anything. Do a couple. Do a few. You know, you could always find a way to do one. Hey, I can do it for free, or just, hey, I'll do it a little cheaper, right? And from one, you can usually do another one. You should show one on your, you know, Instagram's like, you get so many leads from Instagram. You show one, they're gonna come. You know, it's weird how that happens with Instagram. It's like you show a couple things. You don't have to change. Your website can stay. Just show a couple things on Instagram, a couple little clips of a wedding that it wasn't a typical barn wedding. And then start, do a few. And if you like it, then start actually trying to book those by showing them. So first, you might have to offer it a little cheaper, or do one for free and share it on social media before you change that website. Do not, I would say like, don't right away change everything, because doing your whole rebrand takes months, you know? And sometimes you think it's a quick change of your Instagram handle, and I'm just going to change what I do, and then I'm rebranded, right? It's actually the way you talk to the couples. What kind of words are you using? Are you using your, like, just now, like for us, it's like, now we want to use more stress-free type of, you know, delicate, you know, like you want to use words that kind of are going to resonate with your couples now. So look at the way you talk. Look at the communication that you're sending out to them, and just slowly start to change things. What does the font look like? Is it, you know, like you start thinking about all that branding stuff, and you start to get a picture of what that looks like before you even change anything. Have your workbook, have a whole mood board without going, you don't have to go to a branding firm or anything like that, or studio, but just have your own mood board of what you like, your own color palette of what you like, and slowly start to change things, which is what we're doing now. We have, everything's basically done, the style of weddings that we do, our ideal client. So now when we go to get our logo, we can just say, hey, the work is done. How can you help us? Which is a conversation we just had yesterday over the phone with a studio that we like. Okay, I can do the branding. I can look inside and see what I like, see the colors that I like. But I'm not artistic. I can't do a logo. I can't figure out the perfect
right.
type.
We talked about how you can't draw.
So. Yeah, I can't draw. I can't figure out the perfect type and things like that. So it's like, get help where you can, but do the internal work, but don't change anything until you actually shoot those types of weddings. Don't think it's all fun and amazing because it's on social media, and start changing everything and then find out down the road, you know?
You're like, I don't want to do this. And I think it's so key too, because I think a lot of people that I talk to or that I see on social media are like, oh, I really want to do this style of wedding. And they think to do that style of wedding, in order to book that, their brand has to match that style. The first elopement that I ever did was in Big Sur, it's Muir Woods, so it's kind of that Big Sur area. And I had my really old branding, like, at that point. And I don't know how the couple thought it'd be a good fit for that, but they did. And I did that first wedding, and I still had all my old branding, and I just made sure, how can I really milk this wedding, and how can I post a lot of it on social media and on YouTube? And surprisingly enough, even though my branding didn't match that style of wedding at all, I started getting inquiries for that style of wedding. And what I found is, you're not going to be able to charge. So basically what branding does is, once you're in a certain style that you feel like this is a good fit, I feel aligned with it, what branding does is kind of lights the flame of that fire to where you can charge more, because everything's cohesive and people, it's all about trust, and people trust you more. Versus getting started, you don't need to have the perfect brand. You might not be able to make as much money per se from this style, but you're just testing it out. So you'll find that couples will still book you, even if you just do one.
It's so surprising, like, how fast social media reacts with inquiries, inquiry-wise. Because sometimes, like, we put, on, I think on our Instagram, like, trailblazing couples, like, and it was, like, that meant, like, it was for different type of cultural couples that we changed. Like, we put Latinos on our Instagram. We started getting more Latinos inquiries. Like, it's fast, like, the way things can change. We shared these types of clips. The more inquiries that came in were, like, directly correlated to what style of things we were sharing, what our bio said on Instagram. And most of our inquiries come from Instagram. So I'm like looking at, like, what did I do during this time? Like, why am I getting this type of, we changed, forgot what we put, it was like wedding films for trailblazing couples. And we were showing couples that add tradition into their wedding. Traditional, like, we have a tea ceremony, and then they have a Korean ceremony. And then it was like, but they're also mixing in their young couple that's mixing in new traditions, right? So that's the trailblazing couples. And we changed a couple of key things. The reaction, the inquiries react very quickly to what you're showing and what you're changing. Like, it's very reactive on social. Like,
really, I mean, it's true that people are just walking around wanting to feel seen and heard. And when they encounter a brand that they feel like, oh, they get me, it's crazy what happens in the human psyche of just like, I need to be a part of this. Like, this is me. And it happens so quick. And I think what you're describing is kind of crazy, that you would think people would be a little more logical, but at the end of the day, humans are very emotional creatures. We are. And so you as a filmmaker are thinking like, well, I have to have like this in place and that in place. And you're thinking of this grand master plan, where almost oftentimes it's as simple as show it, people want it, and they'll inquire because they're like, oh, that was so cool. Like, that's me. I want it. And
they want to see themselves. They want to see themselves in it. Like, well, they want to imagine them. That could be us. That could be, we want to do that traditional thing, but also mix in some of our style. This person captured it really well. Like, hey, I want that, you know? Or the Latino thing. Oh, they're Latinos. Like, hey, I want to support you guys. Hey, I want to work with someone that is Latino. Things like that.
It's crazy how, like, because I wouldn't even think about, like, I'm Latino. I'm Mexican, but I wouldn't even think about putting that, because it just wouldn't cross my mind. But it's crazy how something seemingly so simple could actually put someone over the edge.
Yeah. It was like on our website. So the inquiries would come in and like, oh my God, we love that you guys are Latinos. Like, it's like, we want to support you guys.
That's crazy.
And the couples weren't Latinos themselves. Like, they weren't Mexican or anything, you know, it was just like, hey, we're super into, you know, we want to support. And just, it was cool. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah. I kind of echo that. So, cause I'm a Christian and I put that on my website, not like overtly, but I'll put it, you know, in a couple places. And I found a similar thing where that's kind of like my thing, that I wasn't trying to make it crazy set me apart, but I put it in certain areas. And I get couples that are like, oh, like, I'm a Christian as well. Like, I want to book you because of that. Like, that's one of the main reasons I'm contacting you, which is nuts, because that's nothing to do about my work per se. And same thing about being Latino or being like vegan or being, you know, all these things. It's almost, what I've realized recently about brands is the brands that state their core values that might not be directly related to their product are usually the brands that are doing better. It's almost like we're transitioning into a culture that we want to not just buy products that are good. We want to buy products that are good from a company whose core values we also resonate with.
We tied it to the culture, right? You know, it's like, hey, we're Latinos. We are super into tradition, like our traditional culture, but we want to do things different. You know, so we're speaking to that client of like, hey, we love our parents, our how we were brought up, but we want to change things. You know, like we want to go to that awesome venue and it's in the woods, but we also want to input some of those old traditional things. So that was a way of like us kind of speaking to them of, hey, we're Latinos, but we still want to go to that awesome venue and not be inside of a traditional Catholic church. But, you know, we want to add the family and some of those traditional things. And it kind of spoke to those couples that are like, hey, we respect family so much, but we want it like a styled wedding and like such a cool venue still, you know? So it really hit something with those types of weddings where we've been getting more and more of like, they're big family weddings, but they're at awesome like forest looking location. You know, they just look cool, you know, like,
Dude, I love that so much. And I think like for people listening, what I want to encourage everyone who's listening is like, don't be afraid to share your core values. And I think that's the shift when I see people that are doing really, really well and really kind of the next wave of wedding filmmakers, they're basing their business off their core values. Because I think a lot of filmmakers are getting better. You know, before it was like, oh, I'm a story on their about page and their bio. It's like, oh, I film weddings. Like, I love it. I'm passionate about cameras and film and movies. And it's like, okay, you're saying a little bit about yourself. And then kind of the next wave of that is, okay, give me a little bit more. And you're like, okay, well, I like the office and I like third wave coffee and I like clothing and all this stuff. Okay, that's better. You know, that's a little bit more. But I think the thing that you're most scared to share is oftentimes the thing that's going to move your business forward the most and is really going to pull people in. And that's your core value. So if you look at your business and your brand and you're like, okay, if you read through it and your core values aren't on your about page, aren't on your Instagram, think about what those are and add those in. And just like me and David are talking about, it's crazy how much of a change that makes. It's like, what?
Yeah. And you'll get more of those clients that you're looking for. As you're sharing more of yourself, you're like going to vibe with them more. They're going to be like, they're going to correlate to the people that you want to track. Like that's what it's about. Mm. At the end of the day, you want to spend the days of shooting weddings with people that you like, that you get along with, right? That you're going to have fun with, a blast, and it's going to make for awesome videos at the end of it.
Dude, I love that so much. And then kind of transitioning because I know you're working through branding side of things, and I know you took the Profitable Filmmaker course, which is going to be out like really soon, if not like already right now when we do this podcast, when this podcast drops. Like, tell me about that course and how it kind of changed things from before you took the course to after, kind of the transformation you had from it and how it's helping you as you think through branding and everything.
I still remember when I was going to purchase the course, I'm like, oh my God, like, Letty, like, I don't know if I could spend this money. Like, you know, thinking about it now, it's like, what? Like,
no sense. I do the same thing.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, like, I'm going to spend this much for education, you know, like it was, and I had already had the 5K course, you know, but it was still a big investment for any education. When you're going to spend an education, like in any education, it's a big investment because it's not like gear. I can hold it. You know, I can't, you can hold gear. You can hold clothes, you know, just material things. Education, it's putting in a lot of trust. So I had a little bit of that, you know, we had already built trust with you. We've gone through that course, but this was the big thing for me. I don't have anyone that was teaching me business. I didn't have anyone to guide me to that second phase of, hey, now we can do awesome videos. Great. What do I do with it? How do I do my taxes? I had literally like, no, it's the first course that was like that back half of it where I have nobody to guide me. Like I started a business, and when you don't have anyone in your life that owns a business, nobody in my family owns a business, like my immediate family, where I can go for advice. Like, hey, do I go to the local office and just tell them that I started? Like the simplest thing, I did not know how to do. I didn't know how to do any of that. So it felt like, oh, now there's a guide, you know, like now I can go from shooting awesome wedding. I would even tell Lady, like, I don't know what to do with the money. Like I literally do not know what to do with it.
Right. Like, I'm making so much money. Do you want to get, like, tacos now? Or, like, what?
I don't know what's going to happen after this. And it was a thing of, like, okay, it's scary, but it's what's scarier is not knowing, like, what to do with anything else, right? So it was like, all right, let's go. Let's do it. And once I did, the big difference. And what's cool about it and what's awesome is it encompasses everything. Like, right? Like, it's from the branding, from the website, from your packages, which is right away the biggest difference that someone will see is your collection. Like, that for me was like an instant change. So immediately you can see the difference of, like, profitable filmmaker, you know, before we purchased it and after. From the price of the collections, our prices went from like $3,500 to $8,000.
That's so crazy, man.
And what you talk about in that course, and the reason we were able to do that was the collections, like changing those collections of how do you nudge someone to go. What I figured out in looking through the course and listening and watching was, oh, I'm confusing the couple. I'm offering so many different things in these packages, and I'm not giving them an option, a reason to upgrade. That was like the huge thing. I looked at my collection. I was like, oh, dang, like, he's right. Like, I'm not moving the couple on up to the bigger collection. I'm not showing it.
You're not being that, like, guide.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I kind of just showed them, like, hey, these are all my packages, and I'm just as confused as you are on which one you should get, you know, like, I want you at that bigger package, but I don't know, like, I'm not giving you a reason to want it, you know? And what you did in explaining those different, you know, like, hey, you should have a reason to move them up and there should be this gap, you know, like, talking about, like, actionable steps is an immediate way to bump up your prices and make more money. But with that, it's not just, hey, I'm going to teach you collections and off you go, you know, like, you know, if that's not good enough, it's like, yeah, you can see that immediate jump. But as you work through it, and literally I've had it, I don't know for how long, but I'm literally going back now and doing the branding again, because what happens with those big courses is, hey, I want to get through it right away because it's going to make my business so much better. And the faster I get through it, the faster I'm going to, you know, progress. Some things do work as, like, the collection thing. It's like an immediate change, but there's so much work that can be done to keep going, you know, like, it's like, okay, I changed the website, I changed some branding stuff, and then my business now, it's growing, you know, we're making more money. And oh, by the way, I hired a CPA, you know, like, I literally hired the one that you mentioned.
Right, yeah, yeah. Stone and Gomez in Pasadena.
No, it was the firm, like the...
Oh, it was Bench? Yeah, yeah, Bench,
yeah,
Accounting.
Bench Accounting. Yeah, yeah. Because I don't know how to do the accounting, so I hired them for 2 years. So I had them, I hired Bench, and then, so I started doing all the steps, right? It's like, okay. And then now that the business was up and going, hey, we're making more money, our branding's looking a little better, then you get a moment to breathe, and it's like, because it's very easy to not go back and, like, rewatch things. And you feel like, I already did it. I already watched the branding. I filled it out when I first got it. And because I look back at my branding book when I first got the course, and then it was like, yeah. Oh my God, I didn't know who I was, but I thought I filled it out right. And looking back at it now, it's like, oh, now I'm much more prepared. So I think what's awesome about it, it's you can, it grows, you know, like, you can go back. Let me rewatch the website portion of it, the SEO side of it. Now I know what SEO does. I don't do websites. I'm a videographer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And my favorite part is that I can literally go step by step. And it's so in depth where other courses, because I've done documentary work. I've taken documentary courses on how to shoot. And, you know, like, you get them from someone and they're so surface level. Like, when you can get a course that is so surface level and it's like, okay, I could have watched a YouTube video for this. Like, there's no need for, you know, and you feel dumb. You spend all this money on something and you're like, that was literally a waste of money. I could have watched it on YouTube. The thing about the course is it's so in depth and it's video after video. I'm like, okay, like, I need to spend time to watch it, rewatch it, do the templates, you know, do the Todoist, have, you know, how do you take the call? Here's the steps on how do you build trust with the couple? How do you introduce yourself? All those little things. And then going back and re-looking at it now a year later and saying, okay, I have so much growth. What did I miss? You know, like, I was running through it to move forward. I can redo it, and now I'm even better. You know, like, it's been crazy. Like working through the workbook now, the branding workbook that you have in there, and it's amazing, and the courses on it are great. And working on it now, it's like, it makes so much more sense.
Because you hadn't actually, like, done those weddings before and really, like, breathed in that.
Yeah, yeah. I was just kind of guessing and thinking, like, maybe this is who I am, you know? Like, I don't know. Maybe this is who I am. Yeah. So it takes time. Like, it takes time. And the awesome thing was, there's quick things that you can change in your business that are going to make an immediate change, but things that you can actually work through for months to make a longer lasting change as you're looking at your branding and stuff like that. So that was like my like breakthrough was like, oh, I can go back and actually work through things. And there's so much more to kind of bite through because yeah, you'll work through it kind of quick because you see like next video, you know, and you want to do the next thing. And the best thing is go back and re-examine it as you spend some time with it. And you're going to get so much more out of it again and again, I think.
Dude, I love that. And that's really what I built the course to do, is to be something. I mean, all the stuff that you're talking about, like, I use it all for my business. Like, I go back and do the branding workbook for myself as I think about the education brand, the future of forestry, and everything like that. And it's so cool because all the practices are built to last and grow with you as you pivot your brand, as you even pivot to maybe not doing weddings or commercial work or whatever it is. That branding stuff is just truth on how to really hone in to what am I good at? How can I attract people that will spend what I'm worth? And how can I get into a market that I enjoy? And so, dude, it's just like crazy to me that you went from 3,500 to 8,000. That's amazing. And that you're going back and you're rebranding and it's still really helpful. All incredible, incredible stuff. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. It's been all you, dude. Craft 5K, now profitable filmmaker. Like, seriously, like, it's been having you there. I felt like I've known you, you know, like, because just thinking back of when I first started, when Letty and I were doing this, it was like, how do you set up a certain, you know, like, it's really been a guide from knowing nothing, you know, like, oh, wait, you need three camera, you know, how do you do this? How do you lav my, those things that seem so ridiculous now, like so easy. You've built that trust of, you know, I've been there for you. You know, like, I listening to the podcast, yes. I'm like, hey,
we're brothers. If I could hug you through this call, we'd do it.
Like, I know David because he guided me when I was first starting a business out of nothing, you know, and now, hey, I have no one to talk to about taxes. You know, it's always that uncomfortable conversation. Even I would ask people like, hey, who do you do tax? Like, oh, some lady, you, they never tell you. Nobody ever tells you, like.
Which is so weird to me. I'm like, why not just say this is who I am anyways?
It's always like, no. You go find it, you know? Like, and it was like, finally, again, like, here, David shows up at the perfect time with the course, you know? Like, great. Like, that's exactly what I needed. And it just worked out great. So it's been like a journey, and it's literally why we're in Greece right now, shooting a wedding. We're literally hanging out in a beautiful Airbnb with money to purchase things, with all the gear we want, you know, like, and it's been a journey throughout. So thank you, David. I just want to tell you, we appreciate you.
You're going to make me cry over here. This is like, this is why I do it. Just, it's just so, man, that makes me so happy. Just that you're doing what you love and you're doing it in a way that's like fulfilling and not just to yourselves, but to be able to like help other people and them to be fulfilled by the art that you're creating. And just hearing the story kind of going full circle where you're like, I want to do art, but I'm not good at all these things. And then just jumping into film and then being able to be where you're at now. I mean, dude, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you guys. And man, you should just be happy. And I know it's not perfect. It never is. It never will be. But like, just enjoy where you're at, man. This is so exciting.
Honestly, we appreciate you, and hopefully, you know, we keep going.
Yeah, for sure. You guys will. You're that talented. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. And then one other thing I wanted to ask, because I always think it's just funny, is anyone who's been shooting weddings for any amount of time has one or two kind of wedding horror stories or like funny things that have happened at weddings. And being at workshops and doing, we always do a Q&A panel at the end of the night with the other teachers. And those are the best, you know, times where someone in the audience is like, so when has something gone wrong at a wedding? And just having the teachers share. So do you have any, like, it might not even be at a wedding, but like, oh, you know, traveling somewhere and something happening, or traveling back, or getting sick, or something with the bride or the groom, or the bride, like, Just tell me a story or so.
I had one of the most embarrassing things. Like, it might not seem too big, but I showed up to a wedding and I would always want to ask, like, for the mom, like, look for the bride's mom. And just like, yeah. So I can make sure I capture her as the bride's right. doing the prep. And this one wedding, I showed up and I asked one of the bridesmaids for some reason. I thought she was the mom. And I'm like, hey, you must be the mom. And I'm over here prepping to like film her. And she like right. gets up and she's like, I'm not the mom. I'm a bridesmaid. Like, and the whole room,
<Don't you dare.
laughs> yeah, the whole room just got quiet. You know, and I had just introduced myself, you know, like, hey, I'm David. I'm here to film. The whole room just got quiet. And then I think I just kind of walked away. Like, I walked out. Letty's like, you did not just ask that. And I was like, I did. I was like, I did. So now, like, now I don't even ask. I don't ask any bridesmaid, like, I just asked the bride, like, hey, is your mom here? Like, you know, I let them point.
Right. Show me to your mom because I clearly am unqualified to discern.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Besides that, it's the traditional, you know, you forget to film a certain shot, but those, you know, you're able to fix them in post usually. But that was like one of the most embarrassing ones.
Dude, I feel that. It's just like, I think we forget as like we do wedding films so much that we kind of just get used to. Because we do it every weekend, and so it's our job. But then we forget that on the wedding day, we're literally, it's almost like starting a brand new job every time you go to work with new employees and new like customers, and you have no idea the personalities of, you might kind of know the bride and groom, you have no idea the bridesmaids or the mom or the photographer or the other vendors. And I've just like taken this as normal the more I've done it. But then when I actually sit to think, I'm literally having to like Tony Robbins myself every single wedding to be like, hey, let me figure out your inner psyche and how I can relate with you and how to be your best friend. But like, have you not hate me that much, but love me at the end of the night with brand new people every time.
I'm always like, I can never remember a name, you know, like, hey, what's that person's name? Like, I don't know, like the best man's name, you know, like it's always like I have the worst memory. So it's like, it's terrible.
And I think too off that, like we're kind of coming full circle, we as filmmakers are so hard on ourselves where something doesn't go right on a day. And it happens all the time, even if you've been shooting for your whole life almost. Like from little things like forgetting someone's name to big things like, oh, this recorder didn't record, or like I missed this moment. And of course, as you get more experience, those things should, in theory, happen less. But also, like I find myself sometimes a big thing goes wrong and I find myself like beating myself up over it and then realizing this is a live event with people I've never worked with before, like no way to like walk through things. And it's okay. Like it is okay if things go wrong and it's like not your fault.
It's the hardest thing to tell yourself it's okay when things go wrong, like especially when you want to succeed so bad. Like I just want to like be successful and make it and do really good and create awesome films, have an awesome experience. You know, like you want so much out of every, like you expect so much out of yourself. Like it's okay to mess up sometimes. I like don't give myself enough time to grow. And like back to like growing and being okay to mess up. One time it was a chapel ceremony, small little chapel. And I'm like getting to our side camera off like just walking on the aisle, the side aisle. And I bump into a little lamp, it's a wooden little chapel, super cool venue. The ceremony is like dead, you can hear a little pin drop. I bump into a lamp, it falls, it breaks and shatters. And the whole ceremony just looks over at me. I'm like,
in the middle of the ceremony.
Yeah, in the middle yes. of the ceremony. It was so bad. It was hot in there. Like everyone's looking at me. I'm like, felt so embarrassed. Like I looked at the coordinator. She just looked at me. She's like, it's okay. You know, like, and I'm like,
oh. You're crying.
The brother actually came up to me later on that day and he goes, hey, he's like, you almost messed up the ceremony there. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry, man. He's like, yeah, I was going to have to take you out back. And like, he like kind of threatened me. And I thought he was joking and I kind of laughed and he's like, no, seriously, dude. He's like, you almost ruined my sister's ceremony or whatever. Yeah, dude. Yeah. It was like,
what?
Yeah, he had been drinking. So I didn't know how much he had been drinking, but the coordinator came up to me and she's like, hey, don't worry about it. He's had already a couple drinks. Yeah. But I was like, what is happening right now?
You know? Oh, I would have just died inside. I would have been like, wait, really?
I was like kind of laughing, you know, like, like, yeah, really? Like, and then he's like, no, seriously, with his arm around me, you know, I'm like, oh God. Like, it was terrible.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was crazy.
But then again, too, it's like stuff like that happens. And, you know, I've had a couple run-ins like that at certain weddings. And I think we just got to remember, like, it's going to happen. And we can't, like, it'll get to us, but we can't let it determine if we're going to move forward or not.
And those things affect you a lot more when you're first starting out. Like, that could ruin you. Like, that would have ruined me if I was, like, first starting out. I would have been like, oh, I don't even want to shoot anymore. Like,
if this is the stakes that it's at, like, this is not fun.
Yeah, like I can't even I'll be so nervous to continue. And like this wedding, I was like, it'll be fine, you know, like I'll just continue. Like, it's a wedding, you know, like at this point, like a wedding, it's okay, things will be fine. Yeah. But if you're starting out early and things go wrong, like it's gonna be okay. Like if you miss the shot, it's gonna be okay. Like don't freak out.
Yeah, and I think it's just like, yeah, it's gonna be fine. And even back to what we're talking about at the beginning of wanting to always be better and successful and that drive. And that's really good. And I think one of the things that, because I deal with the same thing of constantly wanting to be better, and it's one of my greatest strengths and biggest weaknesses, because I'm never able, it's hard for me often to focus on just enjoying where I'm at. And I haven't figured this all out either, but one of the things that I know really helps me is realizing that, and we hear this all the time, but really like soaking it in, that there will always be someone better. And even if you are the rare instance of you are the best at this particular style or craft or whatever, it's not going to last. It may last, you see this in athletes, you see this in celebrities and actors, it may last for a short period. But life, I think so often we as people assume that what we should chase is our happiness all the time. Like life should be happy. But the reality is life is hard. And if we just admit that, oh, life is hard. Things aren't going to go perfect all the time. If we kind of realize, oh, it's actually okay to not be the best. Like it's fine. It's okay. Like nothing's going to happen. It's actually okay. Because I feel like so often in so much of the self-help, it's like, if you're not the best, if you're not the best version of you, if you're not the best filmmaker, if you're not the best husband or spouse, then there's something wrong with you. And it's not wrong to chase the best, but it's like, we're humans. Life is hard. There's seasons where you're not going to be the best, and that's okay.
Like when something's hard, that means growth. You know, when I hear hard, like life is hard, I hear growth, you know? And like when something is going bad, I know I'm going to learn something from, you know, like if you don't learn something from it, then you're just going to live a hard life. Like, you know, like you want to be prepared. If you're going through something difficult, you want to realize that you are. Like I, when I'm going through something, we've had things with clients, like things happen. And just in general in life, you want to realize this is a difficult point, but what can I learn?
And just sulk.
Yeah, just hard time in your life and just not learn anything. Because then you're just kind of wasting your time. But if you realize, hey, this is going to be rough, but I want to learn something from it. Like, thank you. Sometimes I'll even be like, sounds crazy, but I'll be like, thank you for bringing this, like having this hard time. Like right now, I appreciate it because I know this is going to mean growth for me. We've had difficult moments and it was like, I was like, I'm kind of happy that this is happening right now because I know something good is like always comes from the bad, always. And if you have an open mind of like, what can I take? Let me, instead of it happening to me, what can I have? Like, what can my input be? And what can I take from it? You know, like, don't let that thing put you down. You take advantage of it and take something good out of it.
And it comes back to mindset, right? It's like, you can't choose, unfortunately, what happens, you know, for like, if something horrible and tragic comes into your life, oftentimes you didn't choose for that to happen. You know, sometimes people are stupid and they invite it in, but more often than not, it's just life. But what you can choose is like, hey, I can choose to be grateful regardless of what I'm feeling in the moment. And it's so odd that as we become grateful and find the things that we can grow from, find the things that we can be thankful for, it's kind of funny how our emotions catch up.
Yeah, exactly. And business, it's up and down. Sometimes it's thriving. Just know that if it's down, it's going to come up. That's just part of owning a business.
And nothing's wrong.
yeah. That is part of business. And every other business knows that. A restaurant knows that, you know, like just any typical business knows that. I guess I think that we don't tell ourselves that. Like, we expect to always be high, doing the best weddings, the most money, and the best couples and the best time. And it's like, no, it's going to be up and down. It's okay.
And you need those valleys to like recharge and to think, because oftentimes I know, I mean, there's so much to unpack there, but COVID was really hard. No doubt about that. People died. It was horrible. Like, it still is really hard. And like, yes, but for a lot of people in the midst of tragedy and hardness, it forced everyone, especially business owners, to really focus in and pivot. And now as we come out of it, yes, there's some people that had to close down their business, and that's unfortunate. But then there's others, if like, hey, we took that time to really think and process, and now we're so much stronger on the other side. And I would even argue that the people that did need to shut down, they learned so much from that, and they're going to move on to something that was probably even a better fit for them where they're at now. So it's always that, you know, thought process of, okay, I'm going through something hard. How can I make, yeah, the best of it? So I love it. I love it. Love it. And then kind of to just kind of close things off is, what if you were, because you started in 2017, so now we're 5 years?
Yeah. 17, 3, 5, yeah.
Yeah, ooh, I can do math. I'm proud of myself. I'm the worst at math too, so I just had to like sit in that moment. I was like, oh my gosh, should I just do math in my head? Oh my goodness. Yeah, just like pause, moment of gratitude for the little things. What would you tell yourself, knowing what you know now, 2017 you, who had literally never been to a wedding, would you do things any differently? Would you, are you kind of the, like, oh no, I would, you know, I have no regrets in my life. Everything happened for a reason. I would not change anything. Let's just pretend that doesn't exist, but just like, if you could, you know, what would you tell yourself? What would you maybe do different?
I would say probably focus more on, be conscious about what I was booking, like why I was booking certain weddings, and not just try to take whatever I could, you know, at the time, kind of be more intentional with my bookings and have an intention behind the couples that I'm trying to work with. So maybe, hey, think about your intentions with the business, what you want to do with weddings, and have an intention of why you're booking certain weddings. So go into the business with more intention. Also, don't spend too much money on gear. I'm such a gearhead. Like, I switched gear. Like, I went from Panasonic to Sony. Like, the couple doesn't care what you're shooting on. That's for you, you know? And when you're upgrading, it's like, it's such a me thing, you know, for certain things, right? It's like, I want the newest thing. Does the couple want it? No, they don't care. You could create it with the, you know, any camera can, the iPhone does great, you know, you're not going to show up obviously, but with an iPhone, but
I know some people that are, which is just crazy. I know this one person who built their whole business off of, they're pretty new, so they're still testing things out, but they may be listening to it. I know they just joined one of my courses, but their whole business is, I film it all on my iPhone. And I know she's charging a good amount of money and couples are paying it. And that just blows my mind.
They don't care what you're filming on. So I would tell myself, hey, you don't need the newest and best. Get just enough to do the right, you know, just to do a good job and pick the right weddings. And you should be okay after that. And be ready to not know a lot, you know, like, just, it's okay. Like, that's what I wish I could just go back and just tell myself, hey, it's okay. It's all right. Take some time off. You know, like, things are going to happen. It's okay. You know, like, it's so tough to tell yourself that.
Alrighty guys, well that wraps up today's episode. And like I said at the beginning, our Profitable Filmmaker course is live, and it's the complete step-by-step system on how to create a $100,000 a year wedding filmmaking business in any location, any market, in any economy. And it's only going to be open for the next few days, so definitely click the link in the show notes below and check out more information about it. And also, check out David's work. His Instagram is below in the show notes as well. Alrighty, I'll catch you guys in the next episode.